Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 5 in our teaching on the Book of Galatians titled, How Do You Walk by the Spirit? Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
One thing to be free in our countries, another one to be free in our spirit. Amen. And, nothing is by accident if you're walking, with God. As we begin this morning, how many of you have received this Revival Fire CD at the back? I'd like for you to get some more of them. I still have some there. As soon as those are gone, the next week I will do 50 more. The goal of this Revival Fire CD is for you to give it away or leave it laying around, or it's a tool for the Holy Spirit just to put out there. And you can say, well, Alan, why are you doing that? I have no idea. I'm just doing it out of obedience. I'm supposed to print it, and you're offered the opportunity to give it away. I would love for you to listen to it before you give it away, if possible, and see if it will anything in it will speak to you. It was put together by a 14 or 15-year-old young man years ago. I'm thinking maybe 10 or 12, 15 years ago. The Lord had him put it together, and he brought together different little clippings of preachers and singing at some of the revivals, and some personal testimony also. I purposefully try to listen to it about once every 2 months, and I have for years now, to keep me reminded of what has went on, what the Lord wants to do and wants us to be a part of. You know, it's amazing how there is so much struggle out there today for the human soul. It's obvious that it's a battle going on for our human soul. A church is more important today than it's ever been to God's people. It's more needed. It's more important. We also have people watching on the Internet, even this morning. Tony has got it fixed where you can even watch it on your iPhone. What do you think about that one? Pick up your phone, and I have one person on their way to Atlanta right now, and they've got it pulled up on their iPhone. Watching me say this to them on their way to Atlanta. So it's amazing the technology that we have to spread the gospel. But it also lets me know of the great need, because God's the one that brings all revelation. Amen? God's the one that brings all this technology. You can say it's from the devil, but revelation comes from God. And the reason the revelation comes from God, or the technology that we had today, is because there's been a promise made that the gospel will be preached to the whole world. Everyone's going to hear it, and they're going to hear it at the same time. And so God's the one that brings the revelation of it. It's us Christians, we make the decision if we are going to be partakers of what God has done and not just let the enemy hijack it, just like he has our music and everything else. Amen? So that means we don't need to sit back. We need to be very active. We are not on vacation yet in the Spirit. Perhaps we will be in eternity future, maybe the first 1,000 or 2 years in glory. We can sit around, you know, and drink coffee or something. But today we're not there yet. We're not on vacation. We do tend to get a little tired, all of us. But the reason you're here this morning is so that you can be equipped to the ones that are, if you're here this morning, if you are tired, you're still pushing through it, because you're here to learn God's word and what God has for us in this hour in which we're living. There again, to know God's word, to be around his people, is more needed today than it's ever been in history. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, be with us. Guide us. Thank you for the power of your Spirit, the opportunity to be here. Let the revelation of your Spirit and power be with us this morning. Let your word go into our hearts and be part of us. Give your Holy Spirit to us in a great and mighty and a fresh and way that it'll just surprise us all. Dear God, let this be known as the morning of surprise at New Life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Galatians 4:21. Last week we were speaking about this just a little bit. I hit it some. I'm going to hit it just a little more right quickly. I will be moving very fast here this morning. In Galatians 4:21, in the whole book of Galatians, the idea is this. There's a battle going on between law and grace, or freedom of the Spirit. A lot of people, when they're preaching or teaching the grace message, I've heard people say, well, Alan, you don't understand. When you do grace too much, people feel like they've got a license to sin. Well, the only thing that I can tell you is, if you get a gun, you also can shoot somebody. But with a gun, you need to be somewhat responsible with it. Do you want to prohibit you owning a gun? Boy, I'm on a good one here, aren't I? Do you want to prohibit someone owning a gun? Of course not. Why? Because it brings with it freedom. Did you feel a witness of the Spirit? That's what the grace of God is. It's a gun. You thought it was free to do anything you wanted to. No, you're not to go out here and shoot anybody. The grace of God, though, is a weapon of warfare. You've got to be free before you can walk in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God being the gun, but you got to be free to carry the gun. Then we need to carry it responsibly. Got a witness? Now, this is what Paul's speaking about here in the book of Galatians. He said, get this thing in the right perspective. You're not thinking right. He said, you're trying to mix the laws and the grace, and you're trying to mix it all together, and you're diluting what the point is. Last week I asked for a testimony. A lady gave us a testimony that she had been an alcoholic 18 years ago. And I asked her this question. I said, what did you read in the Bible that caused you to quit drinking? And she said, well, I didn't really read anything in the Bible. I just knew I needed to quit drinking. Point being, there was a voice or the Spirit of Christ in her that was directing her to stop drinking. Here's the point. We study the Scriptures. We get the Word in us. But the Holy Spirit is in every one of us in here if you've been born anew, if you've been born again. And what we're after you to do is to not be obedient to the letter of the law, but we're trying to teach you how to follow the Spirit of God that's in you, which will not contradict the letter of the law. The reason the letter of the law is there so is you'll know what the Spirit will be given testimony to. So we want to learn the Word so we can follow the voice. The Word of God is to be spoken. I don't know how I'm going to say this one just right. The Word of God is to be spoken and taught. But it's not to be obeyed until the Spirit moves upon you to obey it. What do I mean by that? That's how important it is to follow the Spirit. You can do the right thing at the wrong time and kill somebody. I can go knocking on doors, say you need to be born again, and I can give them hell and down the road and you're going to die and burn. I can do all this sort of stuff and it'll be of no effect. But if the Holy Spirit leads you to someone to speak to, then you're walking in the power of the Spirit. Just to do what's right is not the point. It's to be what's right is the point. And so it goes on to say here in Galatians 4:21, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondswoman, one by a free woman. But the son by the bondswoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through what? Say the promise with me. Through the promise. You remember we went over the idea of the book of Galatians. It's speaking about the promise. If there's any, listen, if now is the first time that the promise has been forefront in your Christian experience, do not let it move from that position. Anytime somebody says the promise, automatically you should think about what God has promised. As a Christian, as we walk in the Spirit, the first thing that's always on our minds is the promise. God's made a promise. God has sent you what? The promise. I've had people say to me, well, Alan, I don't know if I've got the Spirit or not. And I'll say, well, God's promised it to you. So if God's promised, have you received His Son into your heart? Yes, you've got it. Well, Alan, I don't feel like it. I don't care. He's promised it. And what God promises is true. Now, you might not be working with it, the promise. You might not be walking with the promise. Now, the promise is who? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Oh. We find this in the book of Galatians also. This, I want you to make this connection. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. In the Christian experience, those three are separated on day one. The goal of your lifetime after you were born again is to start experiencing the merging of those three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You say they're three in one. When you're walking fully Spirit, you see one. I don't know why I'm saying this. But the three start merging in your experience as one. So Paul speaks about this to the Galatians. He says this. God sent, he doesn't mention the Holy Spirit much, but he says this. He talks about the promise and the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. So in your spiritual experience, you say Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. But as those three start merging, you know your spiritual experience is headed in the right way. So here he's saying to in Galatians, he is expressing to them that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Are you with me? It's not just the Holy Spirit and Jesus. It's like, oh, the revelation. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Then you understand Paul's writings when he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So all of a sudden, this mystical Holy Spirit starts taking on this form of Jesus, the Messiah, and I want to take on His Spirit. That's the Spirit of promise. He calls it an allegory. I've got to move here. Allegorically speaking, having hidden spiritual meaning that transcends the literal sense of a sacred text. Here, he speaks about, the Apostle Paul, about this story of Abraham and his two sons, which this will be in your notes next week also. It's also in the notes of last week. He speaks about these two sons, and he's speaking about it in an allegory. He's giving you a picture of what he's wanting to make a point here. Paul's wanting to make it a point, but could it be God's trying to make it a point? Did Abraham exist? Yes. Did his sons Ishmael and Isaac exist? Yes. But here is what I'm asking you. God is giving a literal story that really happened to teach you a spiritual truth. My question is, what's God after, the literal story or the spiritual truth in you? Which is the greater and which is the lesser? The spiritual truth is the greater. The actual is the lesser. So if the spiritual truth is the greater, God went to a lot of trouble to get you, to give you a little story that lasted over 500 years here and is still going on today just to teach you one truth. It's pretty huge. This is an allegorically speaking, for these women had two covenants. Say two covenants. Two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, which is the law, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children, but Jerusalem above is free. She is our what? Is our mother. Jerusalem where? Above. So you got a literal Jerusalem here and you got an earthly Jerusalem there. I went over it last week, showed you in Revelation 21 how God's wanting us to identify with that Jerusalem that's up there, not the one that's down here. That being first, this one down here is second. The main one he's trying to get you to connect with is the heavenly. So for a Christian, we want to be more plugged into the Jerusalem that's up there than the one that's down here. I didn't say not to be concerned about the one down here. I'm saying you're to be plugged into the one that is up there. That's the point he's going. So we know that Abraham had a son by two women, one Hagar, which was a bondwoman, one by Sarah, which is the free woman. And now this is just the story that Paul's trying to make a point. Hagar had Ishmael. Ishmael, was that one the one out of the promise? No. Isaac was promised to Abraham through Sarah. Sarah thought she was going to help God and told Hagar she needed to go in with Abraham and have a son. Has anybody tried to help God? Huh? All right, you've got a lot of spiritual illegitimate children are in your life now because you're trying to help God move. Right? You say, well, bless God, I know the right answer, and I want to do it now. That's my point. I told you, you can apply the right thing at the wrong time and cause death. It's got to be applied by the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit, so God made Abraham a promise. Sarah just didn't want to wait on it. Has God made you a promise? Are you tired of waiting on it? You trying to help it? All right, go ahead and help it. You might get something you didn't want. And then you got to handle your promise and that one. Because the promise is coming just the same. Your disobedience does not change the promise of God. Somebody say glory. Aren't you glad for that one? Amen. Okay, now, Hagar is according to the flesh. Isaac is promised. Now, there again, this story is speaking about you and me. The Isaac and Ishmael is in us. Flesh and spirit. I'm going to move on quickly here. One is the covenant of the law. The other one is the covenant of promise. This is the point the Apostle Paul's making in the book of Galatians. The promise sends what? Sends the Spirit. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of what? Promise. Say, I'm a child of promise. I'm not a child of law. I'm a child of promise. So you're walking in the promises of God. That's what you're walking in. Never look at someone and say, well, they got what they deserved. Amen? Say, praise God, Lord, send them your promise. Amen. Anybody had a little of that one? The children are promised, but as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondswoman and her son. So here's what he's saying. Cast the flesh out. Now, a lot of the wars that we are fighting internally now, it is because we tried to help God in His promises. That's right. A Christian learns how to wait on the Lord. Waiting means you're going to have to pass some things. Some different things are going to come your way and offered to you. You say, well, Alan, I've been waiting for 40 years. How long did Noah wait? When you wait as long as Noah, then bring me the question again. Now, you must be free to experience the promise. I'm going to move on here. It's in Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep us standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Now, the freedom is not for you to feel good. The freedom is so that you can carry grace responsibly. Because it's with grace that this power of God is going to come upon you, which is promised by God. Now the church is, can you agree with me on this? The church is not walking in the power that's been promised to it. Now we're just not. So I'm trying to figure out why we're not. Paul says here's because you're mixing law with grace. He said you got to walk in fullness of grace, but you got to walk responsibly because this is like carrying nitroglycerin. It can blow up in your face. You got to be careful with this grace. You got to carefully carry this. He goes on to say this in Romans 4:13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through what? The law. See here, the promises to Abraham was not through the law, but it was through righteousness of what? Righteousness of faith. Now, how did Abraham have righteousness of faith? Here's what righteousness of faith is. You believe what God said. The key to the Christian life is just believing what God said. Did Noah believe what God said? When Noah believed what God said, what did it produce? A boat. Right? Noah believed what God said, built a boat. Now, are you going to build a boat for righteousness of faith? No. Your righteousness of faith is to believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's your righteousness of faith. What's God saying to us is the cross of Jesus Christ. Now watch this one. For if those who are the law are heirs, faith is made void. And the promise is what? Say nullified. Now this is huge here. The promise is nullified. So if we're trying to administer the power and the presence of God through the law, then what's going to happen to the promise? It's going to be nullified. Can anybody feel what I'm saying here? Now, everybody's got to do it on a personal level. If you want the power of the promise to work in your life, you've got to operate in grace and not the law. If we're up here praying for people, and people who are praying for people, if you got an ounce of law in you, the power of that promise is going to be nullified. That's book. It ain't Alan. That's book. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is also no violation. For this reason, it is by what? Faith, in order that it may be in accordance with? Accordance with what? Your faith is to be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed. So if you mix law with the promise, it's going to be nullified. But if you'll operate in accordance with the grace of God, God guarantees that the promise will be there. You missed a wonderful place to jump up and shout and say, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Look right there. I got to take her. Have I got two? Going three. This is the point. We need to all check our personal lives here. I'm not talking to the person beside you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. Why am I not seeing the power of the promise like this book says? It's because I'm mixing it with law in my life. What that means, as an example, I think I'm a little more spiritual than you. Uh-oh. If you don't see yourself as the least of the brethren in here, you're mixing law with grace. If you don't see yourself as the chief sinner in need of a Savior, you're mixing law with grace. Everything within us that thinks we're a little better than somebody else that comes in this door, we're mixing law with grace. That one was absolutely, totally free. Probably was for me. Now, the promise, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you, how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of what? Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him nor know Him. But you know Him because He does what? He abides with you and will be where? In you. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I say to you. Now, why am I harping, or why is Paul harping on the Holy Spirit here? Point being, the law's been fulfilled. Your only hope now is that you get in touch with the Holy Spirit that God's put within you. You can come to all the Bible teaching you want to. If you don't get in touch with the Holy Spirit that's within you to bring you revelation of what you're hearing, you're wasting your time. So we need to pass by this point of fear of the Holy Spirit of God that's within us. You know, the voice that's suggesting to you to do some things you don't want to do. Do anybody know that voice? The voice that when you wake up in the morning is still there. You'll say, well, I'm not going to read my Bible this morning because that voice just gets louder. Anybody tried to quench that voice? Turn on the radio. If you want to really quench it, just turn on CNN. Okay, that was a little joke. Okay. The promise came through one seed, and that seed is who? It's Jesus Christ. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his what? To his seed. It does not say to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and that is to your seed. That is who? God made a promise to Abraham based on his seed, and that seed was Christ. Now, in Galatians 5, and I've talked way too much on other stuff because I'm just now on this week's lesson. How do you walk by the Spirit? And I'm going to keep moving rather fast. I've got 15 minutes to take you from Taylorsville to Israel. Now, we have several covenants here that we're going to talk about. You have the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic covenant. Now, with the Abrahamic covenant, God promised Abraham what? A seed. Now, I'm doing a little graft here on Galatians 5. And then we saw another one here. It's Galatians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here we see that there was another covenant called the law, which was the Old Testament. Your Bible is divided where? It's got two covenants or testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So here we see we had an Abrahamic covenant and we had a law covenant called the Old Covenant or Old Testament. Now, here's what you got to understand. The covenant that was made to Abraham was before the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant was given 430 years after God gave Abraham a covenant. Remember where Paul said that in the first of Galatians? So then we got the Abrahamic covenant, then we got this law covenant. Now, the law was to show us our sin and our need of the seed, a Savior. So when I read about the law and all those things, it showed me that need. Now, here's what I want you to see. This book covers 6,000 years, say. God compiled all of these stories over all of this time for a group of peoples in the end of the age to get all of his stories, which is all pointing to spiritual reality. Now, we have more spiritual reality than Abraham did or Moses did. God accumulated this book. You've got to understand, it was just reprinted in when was the printing press, Gutenberg? 14-something? 1400s, 1450s, or 60s. You got the printing press. So this book has been multiple of copies now for 450 years. It's not very long. God has created this book being multiplied. Now you've got the technology of today. God has given us all of these stories to point us to some spiritual meanings here. Trust me. When you least expect it, when you feel like it's not going to happen, you're wore out with everything, the power of God's going to show up and blow up this earth with his presence. How do I know it? Because that book says it. The reality being, these stories are just not little stories. God went to a lot of trouble for 6,000 years to accumulate stories so stupid people like a dairy farmer can understand spiritual meanings. It's about the stories. But the stories are pointing to a heavenly Jerusalem. He said, Alan, here's the story, and yes, it's real, and yes, it happened. But I'm trying to point you to a greater meaning here. He said, you got to understand, you got to have the Spirit within you to unlock the spiritual meaning of these heavenly stories. And when you walk in the meaning of the heavenly stories, all of a sudden all the heavens are open before you and you don't have to go through the grave to get to see it. So he gives us story, covenants, Abraham, the law. He shows us our sin, our need of a Savior. Then he came up with another new covenant, say new covenant, which is called the grace of God. Why the grace of God? When the grace of God showed up, God said, I'm going to give you the weapon. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to trust you with this weapon of grace. You got to understand, people's idea of the grace of God is too ooshy-cooshy, squeezy-easy. The grace of God is where the fullness of the spiritual times comes. That God has now issued the power of the promise to his people that can walk in true grace. That means you got to walk in love and forgiveness. You got to do all this thing, or you'll go around. If you got the power of the brain, you'll shoot and kill everybody. If you got law mixed with it, do you see what it's saying? People cannot survive it. That was the grace covenant. It's the new one. Now, with Abraham, the promised seed would send what? The Spirit. So the law shows us the seed was promised to send his Spirit. See, Jesus said, I got to go away so that I might send the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is, hey, y'all, y'all have got me here now, so y'all going to keep following me. I'm going to have to go away, but I'm going to send you me in spirit form to your heart. That way you'll quit looking at me walking around here. Paul said, I'm not following Jesus now. He's gone. He says, I'm going to send my Spirit. Now get in touch with my Spirit in you and start following that thing. And God said, listen, you're a seeking agent for the kingdom of God. He's going to move you around the planet, around the face of the earth to say what he wants. Everybody wants to be on stage or a platform. That's the worst place to be. I've heard Billy Graham say it. He's going to be at the back. There's going to be all kinds of people in front of him in the kingdom. He's going to have to look over. Because he said, I had a platform on earth, so I'm going to be way at the back. But he said, it's okay with me because I'm going to see all these people out in front of me that I helped call. So then he went on to say this. The promised seed would send the Spirit. So the Spirit came under grace. Now what, you had to cross over something with grace. You've got a conflict. You see that? From the law to grace, there's a conflict inside here. What is that conflict? It's flesh and spirit. Flesh wants to do law. Here's how you know if you're operating law. I can't believe you did this, and so therefore I've got to make you pay. That's how you know if you're operating under law. When you're operating under, see, God doesn't do that to you. When God operates under grace, he gives you forgiveness, and you're forgiven. Now listen, forgive someone and set a person free to find out that person's yourself. Amen. Then he goes on to say this. When the Spirit comes, how do you know you got the Spirit? Because he sends the love. How do I've heard a lot of people say, well, Alan, I got the baptism of the Spirit. I said, how do you know? He said, oh, speak in tongues. I said, yeah, but you're meaner than the devil. You see, the witness of the Spirit, the way I know you got the Spirit is you got the love. Not if you can speak in tongues. Everybody don't speak in tongues. Some of the people that love the most have never spoken in tongues. But they got the fruit of the Spirit. How do I know you got the Spirit? Because you got the love. The love comes out of what? A new heart. Now here's what you got to understand. The new heart is part of the promise. Say glory. Just do it on credit. Say glory, hallelujah. You see, part of the promise is God's wanting to give you a new heart. Part of the conflict in flesh and spirit, God's wanting to take that bad part of your heart, and he's wanting to give it a new heart so that love can come in there. How do I know you've got the baptism of the Spirit? You've got the love of God in your heart. So you see, it takes a new heart. You say, well, I don't walk in too much love. God will give you as much of his love as your heart's capacity will allow. You see, a new heart is in transition. The old heart's dying, the new heart's coming in. How do you know if you're operating old heart, you're operating under law? You're not operating under grace. You're not seeing the power, the promise. The promise is a new heart. He says this in Jeremiah 31. Look at it. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea, and not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. I remember I was praying one time, it was kind of in a difficult situation. I said, God, I know you're writing in my heart, but you're pressing down a little too hard. Anybody ever felt that one? I don't know if you understand that one, but I knew what it was. Now, We also get more understanding this of Hebrews in chapter 8 and verse 6. This will be in your notes. We'll not turn there for the sake of time. How do we get that new heart filled with love? How do we get it? Romans 5, 1 through 1 and 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. How do you get the love of God? Because God pours it in your heart. God's the one that pours. Listen, if you're battling flesh and spirit, you're not battling, you're battling God. Because God is wanting to pour His, listen, never forget this. The witness of the Holy Spirit of God within you is God's love for the brethren. When you love each other. It's like I told you, I was in that revival one time. The meanest guy in the church come up to me crying. He said, Al, I don't understand it. I just love everybody. He was the biggest troublemaker you could shake a stick at. You couldn't put a paper bag on him and help him. He was ill about everything and criticized about everything. Come up, big old crocodile tears. Alan, I just love everybody. That's God's love. He finally got out of the way enough till God poured a little more in. You say, well, Alan, I can't love him. Well, just get out of the way and say, God, pour a little more in. I dare you. I double dare you. Ask and you'll receive. What's he talking about? He's talking about the love of God, because the love of God is one that can follow the Spirit. Wow. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given us. How do we know we have been a recipient of the Spirit? How do we know this? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is... How do I know I've been a recipient, that it's been poured into me? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, when you start judging people with that, they'll make it. When you start judging people with the law, they'll fail. Are you with me? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Who's in you? The Spirit of Christ. How do you have the fruit of the Spirit? You die to yourself just as Christ. See, Christ was glorified after He died. Suffering, glory, death, resurrection. If you are in any particular crisis, you got to die to it before it can be resurrected in the power of love. That's what he's saying. Here's love under the law, Mark 12. I got to hurry. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, what commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with all your strength. Now, that was under the law. You see, here Jesus was declaring to them, you got to follow the law. Jesus had not died yet. So they were being obedient. Now, there's one thing in being obedient to love, and it's another one acting out of love. See, they didn't have the Spirit yet. So the only hope they had was being obedient to the law. Now, some of you in here perhaps are trying to be obedient, and you're saying, well, I'm supposed to love it, supposed to love church, supposed to love Jesus, supposed to love it. So you're trying to be obedient to it. There's an easier way than that. When you see people walking around raising their hands and crying, they're not being obedient to it, they're feeling it. I'd rather feel love as read about it. It's what Paul's saying. He said, you got to feel it. God's got to pour it in. You got to feel it. Here's law, love under the law. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Now, he goes on to speak about these, and Paul picks these things up. The scribe said to him, right, teacher, you truly stated that he is one that is no one else besides him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and love one's neighbor as yourself, is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see it. He's saying, as Jesus is saying this, he's saying, okay, under the law, it commands you to do this. He's making a transition from sacrifices to obedience to the law. Then it goes on to say this. With the seed of Abraham, we had this law. He was saying, be obedient to the law shows us our sin and our need of the seed, the Savior. He was given that reference to it in Mark. It's talking about the promised seed would then send what? The Spirit. Can you see how hard it was to try to keep the law without the Spirit to keep it? Now listen to me, church. You've got something they did not have. Wake up. Wake out of your slumber and sleep. If all of y'all are looking at me right now, very few of you could tell me what color of shoes you got on. It's because you take it for granted. Let me ask you this. How many of you wondered before you sat down if that seat would hold you up? You take the seat for granted. Do you know the Holy Spirit's in you? And it's a spirit of promise. And we're all walking around with it. We're taking it for granted. We've even got to read about it to be reminded of it. And it's there all the time. It's called the Spirit of Christ. God's calling His church to rise up and let the Spirit of Christ be made known. It's got to be made known unto the recipients before the world can see it. John, in 1 John 4, uses the word love 28 times. Can you believe that? How do I know if I have the promise? Beloved, let us love one another. This is 1 John. After the Spirit's come. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is what? God is what? See, God, when you start seeing the Holy Spirit is really the Spirit of Christ, there's a merger takes place. When you see that God says He's going to pour His love into you, if all of a sudden that love merges with the Spirit of Christ and God, and the love, point being, the world will never see God until that love of God, which is Christ's Spirit. Love is it's a feeling. And until this church, me included, until we are in touch with the love of God that's in our hearts and allow it to be poured out, Paul says he was poured out. You got to be poured into. What does it look like? It looks like grace and love and mercy. That's what it looks like. Galatians, for you were called to freedom, brethren. This is our homework. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And it goes on to say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's where the spirit of the love and power comes. Now here's my point, and I got to close. God said this to Moses, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. God made a promise to Abraham. He said, I'm going to send you a promise. All of this was in code. It has now been decoded for you. It was all in code. I'm going to send you a promise. Then Moses came along with the law. Israel disobeyed. Moses had to bargain with God so he wouldn't wipe out Israel. This was God's bartering statement. He said, okay, Moses, I will pardon Israel. I'll not wipe them off the face of the earth. Why did he want to do that? Because they made the golden calf. You remember? God said, okay, Moses, I'll not squash them like a bug. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? It's the love of God coming out of God's people. Now, you can't pour out what you're not in touch with. So, Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we repent, O God, of not being in touch with that glory that you want to send to this earth. Dear God, forgive me for standing in your way of making this declaration true, that the glory of the Lord will fill this earth. Lord, all of my personal struggles and all of my personal crises and the way I feel I've been mistreated and done wrong, and Lord, there's not enough lifetime to fix all that. But Lord, all of those situations has created an opportunity for you to pour your glory out upon all of these crises, all of these situations. I just want to step aside, oh God, and let your glory be poured into my heart. Dear God, I pray that this church and all the people listening will be found that you'll approve, oh God, that we'll not mix law with grace, but we'll handle grace, oh God, with great. We'll be delicate with it. We'll handle it as it can hurt somebody. But Lord, we pray for your power of your promise to come when we have hearts of grace and mercy, so that we might see the sick healed, the lame walk, brokenhearted healed, the lost born again. Let this place, oh God, and all of those that are watching on the internet, let all of these places, oh God, be ignited with the true promise. Dear God, I pray that your promise will land right here and just smack us right up the side of the face. Just slap a slobber out of us for Jesus, that you might be glorified. And all those that kind of thought that might be all right said, amen and amen. Go eat an egg, get your cup of coffee, and come back and let's glorify our God.